Good afternoon, everyone. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 and 37 seconds for a couple of members. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phone as a courtesy. Committee members present are Senator Reinbold, Senator Hughes, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson. We have a quorum to conduct business today. Senator Costello is excused on other state business. This afternoon, we'll take up Senate Bill 169, Smoke and Damper and Fire Control Systems, which is sponsored by Senator Costello. We heard this bill on the 22nd, took an overview, had public testimony, and we set that bill aside. We have that bill back before us today, and we will invite Melanie Wilterdink. It's close enough. To see if there's any other comments from the bill sponsor.
Thank you, Chair Wilson, members of the committee. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink, staff to Senator Costello. That was right. Okay. That was right, Chair Wilson. The final comments here are just that the smoke and damper control systems, fire systems, these are part of a three-legged stool with fire alarms and sprinkler systems that keep buildings safe. Right now, fire alarms and sprinkler systems both require highly trained individuals to inspect them that really know these systems inside and out. We're not asking for that same amount of training from the people who are also inspecting our fire smoke dampers and smoke control systems. And this bill would bring that all into line so that these three systems work in conjunction to protect life. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we do have an amendment that I will offer on behalf of the sponsor, but Senator Hughes.
I could wait till after the amendment if you wish.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things in conversations with different folks and that work in the construction industry, and based on Mr. Schurig's presentation the other day, many of the examples that we saw actually were not problems caused by an inspector. They were problems caused by people maybe who do maintenance in the building, maybe the installers who made a mistake. And so I just want to point out, when we see soda cans propping up a vent or a rock or when they are closed, those are not the inspectors are catching that, but it's really not getting at the root of the problem in my mind. If we were going to do something comprehensive to like protect our children in the schools, et cetera, we'd want to make sure that the owners of the buildings ensure that their people maintaining these systems don't do foolish things and understand how they work. And although I don't have a problem with raising the bar and the quality for the inspections per se, but I don't want to mislead the public or other committee members. This is really solving the problem because, you know, these inspections are supposed to take place annually. Sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. We know that there's a 4-year requirement for certain buildings and the hospitals are 6. So you could have all kinds of things happening during those periods of time where the vents aren't working properly. And so that's really more my concern than the training of the inspector because you know, and you could say, well, if we increase the training for the person doing the inspection, that should trickle down. But I'm not sure that will really trickle down. So I'm not suggesting we hold the bill up or that we take and rewrite it, but it's something someone might want to take on is making sure the owners of the buildings and their maintenance workers properly tend to these systems, so that we don't have someone or some people, particularly I think of children in schools, that's the first thing that pops in my head. We don't want them dying of smoke inhalation. So we just have to understand this is not a magic bullet as far as the inspectors, because it's really it's the HVAC people, it's the maintenance workers, the installers, and the people own the building who need to take responsibility to make sure these systems are doing what they're intended to do.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. It sounds like some type of PSA announcement for commercial building owners and other hospitals and medical facilities, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities might be needed in the future. With that, I move amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. I will quickly just read amendment number one, and if Ms. Wilterdink would like to add anything else to that. Basically, page 2, line 19, following program, would insert a mechanical engineer registered under AS08.48, a licensed fire protection engineer. I think this was based upon the testimony that we heard in the committee to make sure that our mechanical engineers are also able to perform these inspections. Ms. Wilterdink?
Thank you, Chair Wilson. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink. That is correct. We heard public testimony on Tuesday to the effect that mechanical engineers and fire protection engineers have the necessary training to be able to perform these inspections. And so we wanted to make sure that they're not excluded from the list of people who will be able to do these moving forward. Unlike the people who are currently considered qualified to do these inspections, these are included in this group because they are people who will actually catch problems. Right now, the individuals who are technically qualified and that the state allows to do this often aren't. And so instead of catching that problem of a soda can in 4 years or fewer, 6 years or fewer for a hospital, it might be caught in 8 years, 12 years, 16, 20 years. And so that's the purpose of this bill, really making sure that our inspectors are qualified and are catching these problems.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. Question number one is, can technically anybody get the training for this?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, that is correct. This training is the American National Standards Institute accredited. That's what we're looking for. And so a school can get the accreditation, and anyone can go to that school. A union could get the accreditation. You could actually fly a trainer up to Alaska and have a whole maintenance team for a building get the proper training and have that accreditation.
And Mr. Thomas? Yes. Thank you. Last week, I don't even remember when we, was it just Tuesday? I can't remember. But anyway, whenever we heard this bill, someone was going to get an estimate on training costs. Were you able to do that?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, there's a range. And so it really depends on who you're going to go through to get your training. If you're, say, a member of a maintenance team and the building owner wants to have somebody come up and do that training and get your hours and get your test, that's going to be up to the building owner. Am I going to incur the costs as the building owner, or am I going to share those costs with the maintenance team? Typically, if you are unionized, you work with a union, and they've paid to have that accreditation, part of your dues are already going toward training programs that are going to cover that. Or if you're going to a school that's going to provide this training, it's going to be part of your tuition.
Yes, Senator Ramble.
The final question I have is, I see this as a finance referral. I did not see a fiscal note, so I just couldn't understand why it got a finance referral. I know that might not be a do you mind talking to it? Since you're on finance? I was just curious.
No, there is a zero note, and my understanding is, well, if you have a note, it goes to finance. That's been our president in the Senate before. So I, you know, it does talk about authorizes the regulations, and I think it has an indeterminate note, and so being an indeterminate physical note, it goes to finance.
Okay.
Trust me, I
just don't understand. That's okay. I just wanted to just get that on the record.
Ms. Wilterdink may have more into that too, but Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you just look at the last note of the fiscal note, the last paragraph, ending with the line, therefore an indeterminate fiscal note is being submitted because they do recognize there's cost. That's why it has a fiscal note and a finance referral. And the indeterminate fiscal note will go to finance committee. If there is – it isn't a definitive zero fiscal note is the point.
Can I ask a question in regards to that?
Yes, Senator.
Okay, so basically, is it a cost to the state? I mean, it seems like it should go to finance if it's – to the state, but if it's to the private sector, I'm just trying to understand Because there's a thousand things backed up in finance. So if we can skip finance, it's really important.
There is a cost to the state, and this would be to DPS, the Department of Public Safety, for the Fire Marshal's Office. And they just, it would allow them to establish those regional charge and fees. And so without knowing what those fees are, they would probably may need that receipt authority as well to receive that. So we don't know if it's, you know, negative or positive note yet, but I think that's part of that as well.
If I may respond to that.
Senator Baggage.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold, I agree with you. I think that this should be waived for finance, but that's a decision that will, you know, we can make that request to the president to waive it, I think, because I think it's minuscule in terms of its impact fiscally. And so, I mean, certainly I'm happy to make that request. I would suggest we all do.
Can I respond?
Yes, Senator Ramble.
Okay, so whatever the will of the chair, I think we should really go through you. So if you let us know what you should do. Also, is the U.S. Marshal, whoever was on here, the state fire marshal, had no problems with the bill. Is that my understanding?
That's correct.
Okay.
They're supportive. So at this time, without having a
I can remove it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was talking about the note itself. First, I was just going to say that, without having the bill sponsor here in terms of moving notes from committee and doing that, I don't feel comfortable without talking to the sponsor before that. And I don't want to hold this bill up during the process. So let's continue to move it on, and we'll encourage the bill sponsor to talk to the Senate president to see if that is still needed in terms of referral. Senator Reinbold, do you still maintain your objection?
Mr. Chairman, I remove my objection.
Thank you. Is there further objection? Is there the will of the committee, Senator Hughes?
There are still some things I'd like to discuss about the bill.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you. One of the things I learned since the bill passed is these inspections are currently already required, and it's in regulation. So we're putting it in statute. So I just wanted to make that clear, because I believe I had the impression, I don't know if anybody else listened to the last committee hearing, that it wasn't required. So we now know it's already been happening. So now we're not just only going to have it in regulation, but we're going to have it in statute. But that there is a bit of redundancy there. But the other thing that I understand could be a bit of a confusion, and so I'm not sure if I wish I had a chance to speak with the sponsor directly. One of the things, I was in a meeting where folks were talking about the bill, is that right now we have a number of municipal jurisdictions, the large ones, Anchorage, Fairbanks, et cetera, where they don't fall under the state fire marshal, but they take care of that in their own jurisdiction. And so what I'm wondering, on page 2, lines 23 by 25, where we're submitting findings to the owner of the building that's in noncompliance, but we're also submitting it to the state fire marshal, whether we ought to make a conceptual amendment that this also would go to the jurisdiction. And maybe Melody knows, in these, such as Anchorage, do they have their own fire marshal? And do you think the sponsor would be amenable to making sure that these findings also went at the jurisdiction level?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, for the record, this is Melody Welterdink. So Anchorage does have its own fire marshal, they are one of these municipalities that's listed on line 18, a municipality with a fire and life safety inspection program. They do fall under that. So not every jurisdiction is actually having these reviewed by the state fire marshal. My understanding is that the intent of having all of this information go to the state fire marshal is so that it can be found in one place.
And follow up?
Senator Hughes?
And I think it's not a bad idea to have one central repository, but I would think the fire marshal in Anchorage for the municipality should be aware that a building's been out of compliance, because they're the one that is going to service that in the event of a fire. And so I don't know if you feel comfortable saying, you know, and of course we can make a policy call here, Mr. Chair, but I believe that the appropriate person in the jurisdiction ought to receive a copy of the findings of noncompliance along with the state fire marshal. Is that something, Mr. Chair or Melody, you want to comment on?
Well, I'll just comment on first before we let the bill sponsors staff comment. You know, without knowing from those municipalities in terms of the impact that they may have on them or if they want to have that or not, it's pretty hard to I don't want to just make a decision without having that input from those local municipalities on how they may or may not. I don't have their codes in front of us, so that may be already required or not. So I'm not sure, but Ms. Wolterdank.
Thank you, Chair Wilson, and through the chair to Senator Hughes. I would have to agree with Senator Wilson. I'm not sure right now what is required to be already reported to the individual jurisdictions that would fall under this. But given the intent that the purpose was to have one repository, I don't know that the sponsor would oppose having that also reported to the presiding jurisdictions.
Do you have follow-up, Senator Hughes?
Well, I'd be happy to listen to his comment on that point before I do.
Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Hughes. I just, the plain reading of the bill, starting in line 17, the regulations adopted under C of this section, so those are regulations adopted by the state, must require that, one, the state, a municipality with a fire and life safety inspection program, or a person that has current fire and life safety certification, conduct the inspection and testing. If you read that, the clear reading to that to me is if a municipality has its own fire inspector, they clearly will be doing the inspection. And that's what's clear to me in this. It's like I think you might be asking for something that's already provided for. The record, which we've now created on the public record, it really is in the regulations where that would be determined, but it's pretty clear that the reporting would occur. I think it already speaks to it, if I'm mistaken. But all it's doing is saying that if a municipality has got its fire inspector doing this inspection that statute would then require, that they must report what they do to the state fire marshal. It seems pretty clear to me in those lines that it's addressing, I think, what you're trying to get to here.
And we do have someone in the room that might be able to answer that who currently – does provide these inspections on many municipalities. If Jen Sherrick wants to come up to put yourself on the record, and maybe you can provide a little more insight.
For the record, this is Jen Sherrick, through the chair, Senator Hughes. If the building owner, it's his job to hold the findings of the inspection. So if a municipality needs to see that, he has to keep record of that, and that's where they can find it. Another place they can find it is through the state chief fire marshal. So it's a little redundancy to ask the municipality to hold that when the building owner has it and the state chief fire marshal.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
I would actually kind of disagree, because now the local fire department, Anchorage Fire Department, for instance, it has responsibility to put out fires throughout the municipality. So do we want to put the work on that fire marshal where he has to check in with all the building owners to make sure everybody's in compliance or not? That's putting extra burden on them. It seems like, whether they already require it, it's not going to matter. There could be a municipality that doesn't require it. But all we're talking about, my suggestion, is just adding that the notice of noncompliance not only go to the state fire marshal, but to the local fire marshal. I think that's important information for that local fire department, fire service area to know what the situation, so they can keep a special eye to make sure that building owner next time stays in compliance. I think that we're not causing extra work for the local fire marshal. We're just providing them information. And we're already requiring it that the inspection go to the owner and to the state fire marshal. And so I don't think it's extra work. But my question for Jen, since we have him, Mr. Chair, is let's take Anchorage as an example. The state municipality or other person, so it could be an independent inspector just such as yourself. So we can't assume that the local fire marshal is getting this information. I think Senator Begich thought maybe that they would, but does the municipality of Anchorage do its own inspections on these, or are they contracting with someone like you to do them?
Well, generally, they show up and ask for the report, right? That's what the fire marshal does. He'll go into a restaurant, see that they'll check their fire extinguishers, their cooking hoods. They just show up. I mean, they don't. Sometimes they let them know they're coming, maybe not, but like that's generally how they do an inspection. You can't rely on a piece of paper that emailed to you. Generally, you show up and have to do that anyways, right? Because the fire extinguisher is on the wall. So while they're there inspecting the fire extinguishers, the fire alarm, the sprinkler systems, they also ask for the report that the building owner has to retain, mm-hmm. and then they do their full inspection. That's how a fire marshal does an inspection or a muni inspector. They show up to the premises because they have to be able to see it to actually sign off on and check on. I wouldn't sign off on something if someone just emailed me a report. You go do a visual inspection. And in that visual inspection, you can look at the report, see that there's pictures and the current fire smoke damper, and that's how it would work.
And I'll just say, I'm not expecting, as follow-up, Mr. Chair, I'm not expecting them to sign off on anything. I'm just saying, what is it going to hurt for the local fire marshal to get the information if the inspection is done by line 23 other person, because they wouldn't necessarily have it. And I think it's information for life and safety purposes that each jurisdiction should have. Yes, state fire marshal repository for everybody, one-stop shop. That's great, but I would like in my community the local fire marshal to also have that information. And so I'll listen to what Senator Begich has to say, but I can't quite understand why anyone would oppose that. And even your reason, Mr. Chair, it's not going to create extra work. It's just information coming to the local fire marshal.
Yeah. Senator Reinbold was first, and Senator Begich.
I think when we move the bill out of committee, when it says individual recommendations, so I think that, you know, when it moves on, maybe it can be addressed there. But what I wanted to divert just for a moment and say we probably all got visitors from architects and engineers. Apparently, I was told they were working on an older bill, and somebody over in the other body said that their issues were worked out. I just wanted to make sure that if that was accurate information that I got or not, I'm not sure.
All right. We'll let Ms. the bill sponsors office answer some of that. I think that was the purpose of working that out and some of that confusion. I think this hopefully amendment makes a little bit of adjustment that we just passed, but I just wondering if you can answer that question.
Thank you, Chair Wilson. Through the chair, Senator Reinbold. For the record, this is Melody Walterding. We have met with both members of the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board and the Alaska Professional Design Council. The amendment that adds mechanical engineer and fire protection engineer, that was a concern from both. And so that change is now going to be made. Some of the other concerns we hope to possibly address or actually bring separate legislation. This legislation addresses one really specific thing, which is what we're folks like Jens are seeing in the field is that the people who count as qualified inspectors right now are not, and they're not catching issues. And so buildings that are passing inspection shouldn't be. And some of the concerns is that building owners actually don't know enough about this and how often they should be getting their inspections. We think that might be a task for a separate piece of legislation to make sure that there's more education about what these systems are meant to do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Begich.
Thank you. Senator Hughes is correct. Based on that description I just heard, so my comment would be that you would want to amend line 25 to say compliance, insert comma, delete, and to the state fire marshal, and insert the word and comma, where municipal has a fire and life safety, municipality has a fire and life safety program to that program office. That would solve the problem that she has described. Exactly. And that would actually provide that level of, it effectively says if I have my building inspected by a private individual, this is what you're asking for. Instead of waiting till the fire marshal comes around, that would have to be submitted to the Fire Marshal of Anchorage as well. That's what it would do. And
Was that an amendment?
Would be. I'm suggesting that I'd like to move an amendment, Mr. Chairman. I move conceptual amendment number one.
Before we do that, I think Senator Hughes has like. Did you want to? Before that,
yes, and I know we don't second motions here, but I would second that.
you want me to move it first, though?
Well, I'll make a comment because it's related to that, if I may, Mr. Chair. The jurisdiction issue about the local fire marshal was one of the other concerns. You mentioned some other concerns that maybe could be addressed in another bill having to do with the building owner's responsibility, the maintenance, the installer's responsibility. So that, yes, maybe that needs in a separate title, separate bill. But this submitting of findings is related to the inspector. So it does fit in this bill. This is one of the requested things that we were hearing, that that we not have a podge thing. People can always know they can go to the state fire marshal, but it's important information for the local jurisdiction. So yes, I would support the amendment as Senator Buttigieg, I believe, is going to make.
We'll take an at ease. We are back on record, just getting a conceptual amendment written for the record. Senator Buttigieg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the conversation that has just occurred and the concerns brought up by Senator Hughes, I move amendment number two.
Object for purposes of conversation.
May I read into the record amendment number two?
Yes, Senator Buttigieg.
On page two at line 25, following the word compliance, we would delete and to the state fire marshal and insert comma, to the state fire marshal and where a municipality with a fire and life safety inspection program. It should be where a municipality has a fire and life safety program. I'm sorry, I made an error. The word with should be withdrawn. Has a fire and life safety inspection program to that program office.
All right. With that corrected to the amendment, I'll remove my objection. Any further discussion? Any none? That amendment passes. And then I will move amendment number three to delete the physical note OMB component 3051 from the Department of Public Safety appropriation fire and life safety allocation fire and life safety from Senate Bill 169.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Yeah. So this bill just. Seems that there's no outgoing, and they said, should this bill pass, we want to move, I'm sorry, and I guess I need to restate my thing, I want to move to zero it from an indeterminate to a zero physical note. So I will withdraw, yes. All right, I apologize, I will withdraw that and restate that. I move to zero physical note. OMB component 3051 from Department of Public Safety appropriation fire life safety allocation fire life safety.
And I'll object again for purposes of discussion.
Yes, and this bill should have a zero effect with the giving the ability for fire life safety under DPS to charge the reasonable charges from this and to review that, and the fees billed hopefully should also cover the future inspections from them to conduct and the amount of revenue that should be generated and to be submitted.
I'll remove my objection.
All right, any further objection? Seeing none, and we were joined by Senator Costello a while ago. While she's on another state business, she called in. Senator Casella, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I just want to thank all the individuals who helped come together on this legislation. I think it's really important for the safety of Alaskans to give them that assurance, and just wanted to say thank you.
All right. Thank you. With that, is there a will of the committee? Senator Hughes.
Addies, please.
Back on the record, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 169, version 32-LS1386-A as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note, and provide an allowance to legislative legal to make technical and conforming changes in regard to the amendment.
All right. Any objection?
Just clarification, zero fiscal
note. You have to say the fiscal note too, don't you? Did you move the fiscal note?
Yeah.
It said I did.
Oh, you did.
Fiscal note?
Yes. All right, seeing no objection, Senate Bill 169 moves from committee with a zero fiscal note. Sorry. With that, that concludes our business for today. On Tuesday, March 1st, the committee will consider Senate Bill 156, prohibit COVID-19 vaccine discrimination. We'll hear that bill, take an introduction and public testimony, invited in public testimony. That concludes our business for today. We are adjourned at 2:08:48.